So we are in a new series this morning. It's going to be quick, just 2 weeks. All right, so this Sunday and next Sunday, we are in a series, and it is obviously called Get Away. All right, not like Get Away From Me, although that I know I've heard some of you say that. Not to me, all right? Maybe you have. Maybe I'm a little hurt, all right? But no, the whole reason that we're looking at this Getaway series, all right, is that in 2 weeks, right, what are we doing? We're going to Ruach. We are going to get away, all right? We're going to get away from kind of the normal, from kind of the rhythm, the kind of what happens in life, all right? And so as we dig into this, I hope that this is just encouragement to you, not only to come to Ruach with us, but for other reasons and just the importance of kind of unplugging and getting away. So it's funny, actually, if you guys have your Bibles first, go ahead and flip to the book of Mark. For me, flip to the book of Mark. It is the second gospel. All right, so you got Matthew and then Mark, and you can go to Mark 1, Mark chapter 1. All right, and then you can just kind of hang out in there. All right. So for those of you that that know me, you know that I have a son, and his name is Leland, and he's almost 3 years old. All right, already, which is nuts. He'll be three, and yeah, you can clap. We kept him alive. We did it. All right, we did it. We kept him alive. He's almost three. We made it. All right, there's another one coming, and so maybe that one will make it to three too. We'll see. All right, we're gonna. Yeah, thank you. I have done nothing. This all the clapping should go to my wife. All right, so yeah, Brittany did it. So thank you. I forget. Usually you're over. I'm confused. Now I don't know where you're at. So anyways, my son Leland, he's three. How many of you like to play hide and seek or played it as a kid? How many of you played it as a kid? Everybody's hand should be up in there. Okay. So here's the deal. When a three-year-old plays hide and seek, it's like a whole different game. All right. Because Leland randomly, like, we'll be playing in the back room. We'll be hanging out. We could even be playing with something else. We got like trains and cars and some other stuff back there. And so we're playing hide and seek, or we're playing with that stuff. And he's like, "You want to play hide and seek?" And I'm like, "Yeah, sure." And I know that when he says that, I don't have to do anything. I don't actually have to hide because all he does is he goes around the corner and he counts to 20 like this. 1, 2, 12, 15, 16, 7. Ready or not, here I come. Like, and so all I have to do is sit there. I'm usually on the ground, and I'll either grab, like, a pillow or something, and all I have to do is this. And I put it over my face, and he thinks it's the best game in the entire world, all right? Like, he comes around the corner, and it's like he looks at me, and I can tell he's looking at me because I can see him out of the corner of my eye. And then he, like, touches me, and it's like, "I got you," and I'm just like, "Oh man, you got me!" And he loves it, and we could play that game for hours if I didn't get annoyed by it after like the third time. But it's so fun, and I love doing that. But it's funny because it's like, to him, I'm hiding, right? But really, for me, I'm still right here, like I'm there, all right. And whenever you know you play hide and seek normally, like you have to, there's effort involved in like going somewhere, kind of like cramming your body in like an awkward like closet or behind the couch with like your leg underneath or something. And you're doing your best to get away from the person that's trying to find you. All right. So I think when it comes to our walk with Jesus or spending time with Jesus, all right, it's good for us to kind of take a minute to get away. But I think a lot of us, whenever we do that, it's like we're playing hide and seek kind of with a three-year-old. Like, we're like, "Okay, God, I'm going to spend some time with you." But it's really just like, you're just doing this. And it's like, "I'm hiding. Like, I'm spending time with you. I'm not." All right? When really, God calls us, and I think we see in the example of Jesus, and we'll jump into that in just a second, where getting away, all right, kind of takes a little bit more effort, I think, than what we're either used to or we're just not there yet, right? Like, eventually Leland will figure it out that hiding is more involved, and that's going to be bad for me because I can't just sit there anymore, and then I actually have to do, like, I have to put effort forth to play this game. And then I'll have him hide because he's a lot smaller than I am, right? But not for long. And so in Mark chapter 1, All right, we see Jesus. So let's jump into this, and we're actually going to start in 1 in verse 29. All right, 1 verse 29. We're gonna pick this up, and I want us to look and watch what Jesus does here. All right, so this is, right, this is the beginning, kind of the first chapter of the Gospel of Mark. And Mark, he doesn't beat around the bush. He jumps right into this. We start to see what Jesus is doing, who he is, all the things that he begins to kind of claim that he's here for. And so in verse 29, this is what it says. And immediately he left the synagogue and entered the house of Simon and Andrew with James and John. All right, so he's going around. He leaves the synagogue. That's where he is. He goes. He's with Simon and Andrew, with James and John. 30 says, now Simon's mother-in-law lay ill with a fever, and immediately they told him about her. And he came and took her by the hand and lifted her up. And the fever left her, and she began to serve them. So immediately, already off the bat, he's healing people. He's with his friends. He's with his disciples. He's with these guys, all right? He's immediately there. He's doing stuff. He's doing work. He's busy. Verse 32, that evening at sundown, they brought to him all who were sick or oppressed by demons, and the whole city was gathered together at the door. All right, imagine at your house, the entire city gathered at the door, all right? Now, it's probably not like all of Akron comes to your door, but if you're in Hartville or in Greene or whatever, like imagine even just your entire neighborhood standing outside of your front door, like waiting for you to help heal them or fix them or whatever. Like they're looking for something. Right? Either they're looking for a handout or they're interested, right? Because there's a dude who's healing people, and that doesn't happen very often. Really at all. And he's there. And all these people are being brought to Jesus. All right, this is a busy, busy event. All right, there's people everywhere. How many of you would say that you're introverted a little bit? Like that you recharge the best when you're alone. Okay, yeah, that's probably about half. That's about right. All right, and so this is like your nightmare. All right, imagine this. You are surrounded by like hundreds and hundreds of people, one that you don't know. And also, it's not like they're just kind of around you. Like, they're there for you, and they want to talk to you for a long time, all right? So all of you introverts are like, all right? This is what's happening. It's exhausting. I want you guys to pick up on that. This is, like, there is so much already happening. And not only is it just that there's all this stuff happening, but Jesus is responding to all these people. Verse 34 says, and he healed many who were sick with various diseases and cast out many demons. And he would not permit the demons to speak because they knew him. That's like a whole other sermon for a whole other day, but just the end of that verse is awesome. But so it says here, right? He heals them. They come to the door. They're knocking. They're like, Jesus, hey, I'm sick. My friend is sick. This person has a demon. Like, can you take care of this? And they're crowding around, and he's doing all of this, and immediately, word starts to get out. Do you think that word would get out? Like, if there was somebody even in this room that, like, hey, the last five people that, like, have said I'm sick and gone to that person, he said be healed, and then all their sickness goes away. Like, do you think there would probably be a little bit of a buzz about that here? Now, imagine that kind of all over the city, and then people are coming and just being like, I don't know who this guy is, but I know that I've got this thing with my leg, and I'd like to get rid of it. And so if you could just maybe fix that for me, that'd be great. Like, it's not even like they want a relationship with him at this point. All right, they're just interested in what he can do for them. So it's very much, it's not even a give and take. It's more of just a take, all right? And so people are taking and taking and taking, and Jesus is giving. All right? So picture that, the end of that day and what that looks like. I would be exhausted. Think about that for a minute. Think about all these people having to talk to them. All right? Imagine there, even just in here, if I was like, hey, I want you to talk to every single person in here. All right? And I want you to listen to all their problems, and I want you to help them fix them. There's a lot of problems just in this room, right? Just on this stage. It's just me. Okay. But still true. So verse 35, this is the day after. So this has all happened, right? I would be exhausted. This would be a day to sleep in for me. But verse 35 says this. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. Let me read that again. And rising very early in the morning, while it was still dark, he departed and went out to a desolate place, and there he prayed. So this is like the morning after an exhausting day. We see Jesus go and get away so that he can pray. Flip over to Matthew, book of Matthew. Matthew chapter 14, verse 22. And if you look in your Bible, in Matthew 14, so if you're in verse 22, this is just one book back, so you just flip to the left a couple pages from Mark. If you look backwards, right, so verse 22, some of you might have a header above that. It says, Jesus walks on the water, all right? And then the one before that in verse 13 says, Jesus feeds the 5,000, all right? A lot of you guys know that story. They're all Jesus and his disciples. They're with the crowds. He's teaching them. And then there's 5,000 people there that are like, hey, Jesus, we're hungry. And so he takes 5 loaves and 2 fish, and he breaks the bread, and he disperses it, and he feeds all 5,000 of these people. He does this miracle where they have even more than they need. They have more than what's necessary. They have pieces of bread and all this. It's all left. They have leftovers, all right? And those who ate were about 5,000 men besides women and children. So it's even just more than 5,000, which is nuts to think about, all of those people gathered together. It's like if you went to the football stadium at Akron, and it was pretty full, and everybody looked at you like you're standing in the middle, and they all look at you and they go, "Okay, when's lunch?" I'm like, maybe the concession stands are open, but I don't have anything. All right, and so Jesus does this miracle. He's around people again. He's teaching. He's doing these things, and then verse 22. Here's what this says. Immediately, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. So not only does he send his disciples away who are probably tired, he takes care of the crowds himself. He's like, hey, you guys go, and I'll deal with these people, and I'll get them out of here. So he sends them away, sends them back to their homes or wherever they come from, and he says, all right, you guys go. He sends the disciples off, and he does this intentionally, and here's why. Verse 23 says this. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. And when evening came, he was there alone. So he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. So this isn't now before a day. He doesn't even wait till the next morning. All right, this is immediately after. He's had an exhausting day. Like, all I would want to do at this point would be to, like, come home, put on sweatpants, turn on like a TV show, and like fall asleep in front of them. That's what I would want to do, all right? And Jesus, after an exhausting day, he comes home and he puts everybody away and he's like, all right, now I can spend some time with Jesus. Now I can spend some time with the Father, all right? Flip over now to the book of Luke, Luke 6. Luke chapter 6. This is two books to the right now. I know I'm having you guys jump all over the place. Luke chapter 6. This is the third gospel. Luke chapter 6, verse 12. All right? And so again, he's here in the middle. He's teaching. He's healing. He just healed a guy who had a disease on his hand. People are beginning to question about who he is and all these things. Here in verse 12, this is before a very important decision that he has to make, right? So we've seen now, right, at the beginning of the day. So after a long night, he probably goes, he rests, and he gets up real early for the next day, and he prays. And then in Matthew, it's immediately at the end of the long day, he goes, he gets away, and he prays, and he spends time. And so now, here in verse 12, this is what it says. In these days, he, Jesus, went out to the mountain to pray, and all night he continued in prayer to God. And when the day came, he called his disciples and chose from the 12 whom he named apostles. So this is the moment before Jesus is calling his 12 apostles, according to Luke's gospel. So that before he has this major decision to make, he doesn't just pray before bed. He doesn't just pray early in the morning. It says here that Jesus prayed all night. All right? Think about Wallapalooza for a minute. All right? Think about all of the things that we do to keep you awake, all right, and to have fun and like be together or whatever. Do you guys think for Wallapalooza this year, we should come and at like 9 o'clock, we'll start in there and we'll just pray from 9 p.m. until 7 in the morning when your parents come get you? That sounds impossible, all right? Because here's the deal. I know me, and you know you probably. If you've ever tried this, all right, if it's like, all right, oh, I need to pray before I go to sleep, all right? And instead of like doing it in a different space, you're like already in bed and the covers are on and you're laying there and you're like, well, I'll just talk to God for a minute. And you go, dear God, thank you for... And it's like, you make like 15 seconds, all right? I had a friend who was like, I pray to fall asleep. And I'm like, what? Are you serious? And I'm like, well, that's actually a really good idea. And so it's like, if you're in bed and you're laying down and your head's on the pillow, chances are that if your eyes are closed and you begin to pray, you're probably going to fall asleep. It's like your focus and the amount of like effort that you're putting into to spending time. All right, that's you playing hide and seek like this, all right? That's this. God, I'm spending time with you. Like, I'm doing it. No, all right? That's not what's happening. And so it's funny. So we see this pattern in Jesus' life where he gets away from the people that he's around and he works to spend time alone with God, all right? I've heard it called a couple different things. Some, I don't know if you guys have heard of time alone with God. People call it TAWG, like T-A-W-G. I don't know if you've ever heard of that before. My favorite is whenever I went to a camp once and they were like, all right, it's TAWG time. And I was like, but I thought the first word was time. And so it's time alone with God time. And that's what, that was like, it was like on the calendar. And they're like, all right, guys, it's time for TAWG time. Everybody get out and take your Bibles. And I'm like, time alone with God time. Okay, time, okay, yep, perfect. I'm in. I don't know, that was just a funny thing to me. Jesus, would you guys say that Jesus was kind of a busy guy? Maybe. Let's try that. Would you guys say that Jesus was a busy guy? Yes. Yes. Right? It wasn't even just like, oh man, I got school today. It's like, oh, I got to feed 5,000 people and I got to heal all these diseases. All right? Like he was doing a lot of things. There were people actively, if you guys read through the Gospels, Mike even mentioned it today, as he's challenging Pharisees and other people and teaching about who he is, there are people actively trying to murder him. All right? There is, like, that's not something that a lot of us really deal with on a daily basis. And, like, with big rocks, all right? That's not, we don't have to really deal with that. That's not happening, all right? He is a busy guy. There are things happening, but Jesus knows and I think models for us the importance of taking time to get away. And he makes an effort to do that. He's around his friends. He's around the apostles. He sends them away. He's around the crowds. He sends them away. He goes to a place where he is alone and isolated, where he is by himself. He makes an effort to spend time alone with God. He has to get away from people. Not only have to get away from people, but he's probably exhausted physically a lot of the times where he does it. How many of you have been like, I'll pray later, I'm really tired? I've thought about that. Yeah, I've totally done that. Like, oh, it was such a busy day. I really don't have time to talk to the one who could probably like restore my energy and my strength and things like that. I'm too exhausted. I make the excuse of no time. You want to talk about no time? There are people pressing in at the door everywhere that he goes. People are literally following him around in boats. Like he goes back and forth across the Sea of Galilee a couple times. And it's like every time he goes over, there's people over here. And then it's like, okay, let's go over here. And then you get there and there's more people over here. And then he has no time. People are always asking for his time. And not only that, but he has to find a place to be alone. It's not like Jesus and his disciples, they meandered around a lot. Like, they traveled a lot. It wasn't like they just stayed at, like, Jesus' house. And it's like, oh, just go to my basement. Like, that's not, he had to actively seek out spaces where he was alone. And I think this applies to you guys as well. How many of you feel like there is nowhere you can go in your house where you are alone? How many of you feel that way? A couple of you. Okay. Some of you that are able to do that? Nice. I don't know what else to say. But I think that's an excuse for us as well. So we use the people in our lives, how many people we have to deal with on a daily basis. We use the fact that we're exhausted or tired as an excuse. We use the fact that we say we have no time for that, right? I have to get up in the morning. I have to get ready. I have to eat my breakfast. I have to go to school. I have to go to practice. I have to do this. I have to go here. And then I'm home and I have to, and we say, I have no time. And we feel like we have to maybe find a space, because if we take a moment to stop and, like, I want to read or I want to connect with God, you feel like you're never really kind of like off by yourself. Like, you feel like somebody's always kind of like butting in and interrupting or whatever. So I ask you this question, these two questions this morning. Where can you be alone, all right? So think about that. Where can you be alone, and when can you be alone with God? So kind of think through those things. Where can you be alone and when? And if you don't have a where, it will take some effort to find a place. Or, believe it or not, like talking to your family to say, hey, in the morning, I'm going to try and do this. Or I want to spend time with God, or I want to spend time in prayer or doing those things. Like, mom, dad, can you give me like 5 minutes like in my room? And now don't use it as an excuse to like sleep more. All right. Be like, I just imagine your parents outside your room. Like, they usually come wake you up at like 6:30, but now it's like you're like, I need at least 20 minutes with the Lord in the morning, all right? And so then you're like 6:30 comes around, and your dad like is about to walk to the door, open it, and wake you up, and he's like, oh no, they're spending time with Jesus, and you're in there like this. Like, you've moved your alarm even to like 6:50. And so you're like, oh man, it bought me an extra 20 minutes. And my parents think that I'm really holy. It's amazing. All right? Don't do that. That's not what we're here for. All right? So where can you be alone, and when can you be alone? And that may take some effort. It's really boiled down into this question of, what do you need to do to get away? All right? And when you are getting away, are you spending time with Jesus in intentional ways? Are you praying? Are you kind of modeling what Jesus shows us here? That maybe it's at the end of a long day and you're exhausted. I hope that your first reaction would be, God, I'm so tired. Would you just help me? Even asking God for a great night's sleep where you'll be refreshed and given energy for the next day. That's a great prayer to have. Or at the beginning of the day where you wake up, maybe you get up a little earlier than you normally would. You sacrifice some of your morning time to say, God, I'm going to give this time to you. Even if it's just 5 minutes, I want to give this time to you so that I start my day with you and that I know that I'm fueled up, I'm ready to go. The thing that's driving me and fueling me throughout my day is your truth and your word. Mike talked about that in main service this morning, if you were in there, but the importance of God's word dwelling in you. And he even reminded us a little bit about what we talked about last week, that it's not what we do that make us who we are. It's who Christ says that you are that should determine what you do. All right, so it's again, it's not about just doing this, all right? If you read your Bible or you're like, man, I'm going to spend time with God, but you do that so other people will somehow think that you're like better, you're missing it, all right? I hope that you would want to get away and do that because you have seen and experienced the goodness of who God is, and that his word would be something that you crave. What do you need to do to get away? And I have three kind of things for us, I think, that we can see how Jesus does this. The all-night thing, too, that's good. I would say if you're going to do that, maybe talk to your parents first, all right? Because here's what I could also see happening. Being like, all right, it's time to get up for church. We're going. And you're like, oh, I spent all night praying, Mom. I can't get up and do that. Like,
I just feel like that would be a really funny excuse to, like, not go somewhere. It's like, hey, your cousin's wedding is this. We got to go. Like, it's Saturday. Come on. And it's like, oh, can't just give me, like, 8 more hours. I was up all night praying and begging God that I would be able to sleep. It's like, wait, what? Hold on. Time out. All right? Don't do that. So three things, I think, for you to answer the question of what do you need to do to get away. First thing, like we've been talking about, is to make time, right, and find a space. Like, I think for a lot of us, spending time in God's Word or doing that, like, it doesn't happen just, like, naturally, all right? Like, and so you have to actually mark that out. Carve that time out. Let that be the first thing that you add to your schedule for the day. If you have, like, a daily planner or something like that, I don't know if you guys still use those, but that it's just a good place to write it down. Like, to be like, I'm going to intentionally mark this down, and then you had to tell somebody about it. To be like, hey, I'm going to try and really do this, and would you kind of ask me about that every once in a while and just be like, hey, are you following through with that? Make time. Find a space. If you feel like you need a space in your house, talk to your family and just be like, hey, I just want to have, just give me like 10 minutes. Another good option, even while it's still warm out a little bit in the fall, like go outside. Go for a walk around your block. Oh, crazy. You can like spend time praying. Like, so for me and for those of you that fall asleep really easy while you pray, all right? A great thing to do, go on a prayer walk. Like, just walk around. Be like, I'm going to walk one time around my block, and while I walk, I'm going to pray. And then, like, when you get home, then it's like, okay, I'm done. That's a great thing to do. It's just a possibility. But make time and find a space. The other thing that I think you can do is that this is legit, you can come with us to Ruach, all right? Here's the deal. I think that Ruach is a great opportunity for you guys to get away. Because, right, we have people in our lives that are always asking for things. We have things that we're doing where we're exhausted. We have stuff going on all the time. We feel like maybe we don't have a space. You want to talk about creating a space for you to get away and spend time with the Lord? That's literally why this exists, is for you to do that. So please come, all right? Like, it's for you. This is for you to spend time, to get away from all kind of your normal rhythms and everything that is around you all the time, the people in your life, the exhaustion that you feel, the fact that you feel like you have no time. What better way to have time than to spend like 3 whole days doing this, all right? And obviously we have a place. We're going to a camp. We're going far away. It's only an hour away. But it's not like your basement, all right? So it's different. So come with us to this. And then the last thing that I want to challenge you guys with, I'm actually also going to be participating in this, all right? Okay, so for 2 weeks from now until Ruach, I want to challenge you guys. Because I think there's more than just people as well in our lives that maybe make us feel exhausted or drained. Many of you have something in your pocket right now that is like small and rectangular, and you can call people on it sometimes. But that's not really what you use it for. So your phone. And on your phone is potentially, if you have one, and if you don't have one, that's okay. But for many of you, you have one, and on there are dozens of apps and things that like connect you to a lot of people that you don't know. Maybe even some that you do know. All right? Social media. And I want to challenge you guys for the next 2 weeks from now until Ruach. And you could even like you could dial this down. You could just be like, you know what? I'm just gonna start with like an afternoon. All right? But where you go in and you like delete the apps even off your phone to the point where it's like, and I'm not gonna re-download them until this time or this date. And so what I'm going to do is I'm going to get rid of all those things off my phone from now until we get back from Ruach, all right, which is about 2 weeks from like right now. It's like 11:40 right now. And so we'll get back around like 1 o'clock in 2 weeks. So whenever I get home, I'm going to do this. And I'm gonna scrub them off my phone, and I'm gonna do this with you. All right? I know some of you guys are looking at me like I'm a crazy person. All right? So that means like TikTok, gone. All right? Snapchat, gone. I know, look at this. Look at you. Listen to me. Listen to me. Listen to yourselves. All right? Shh. Hold on. I'm serious. Yeah, Instagram. I'm serious. All right? If you feel like you can't walk away from a snap streak for a day, all right? You have a problem. I'm serious. All right? These apps, all right? Social media apps are literally designed by people who are very, very smart, and most of them are designed to keep you using it for as long as possible. That's why when you start to scroll through TikTok or other things, like, it never ends. It's forever. Instagram, all this stuff, like, it's like you keep going, and then all of a sudden, 30 minutes, an hour, 2 hours of your night, gone. Gone. And what have you, like, maybe, like, every, like, 12th thing that you look at was, like, kind of funny or dumb. Everything else, you're like, no. Oh, there's and then you keep going. Like, I want to encourage you guys to, like, eliminate distraction for the next 2 weeks and replace it with at least a little bit of time here. Whenever you're like, I have no time, I laugh at you. A little bit. Because you do. You just use it in different ways. And so I want to challenge you guys, whether it's early in the morning or late at night, maybe not all night, to seek the Lord. Model your life after Jesus and chase him. All right? Eliminate distractions. Make time. Find a space. Come with us to Ruach. That's my challenge for you guys today. So I'm going to pray for us. Band's going to come up, and we're going to sing another song. And then we're going to get out of here. And when you leave, it is up to you whether or not you participate in this challenge that I'm giving you. Even if you have like three main ones that you use and you get rid of one, that's great. All right? So think about that for me. And let me pray for you. All right? Actually, how about everybody stand up? Everybody go ahead and stand up. I'll pray for us. All right? Can I just tell you guys something? The visceral reaction whenever I'm like, delete Snapchat, or everybody's like, duh! Like, just like, oh! Here's the deal. Shh. Hold on just one second. If you feel like you cannot get rid of it, even for a moment, that should tell you in your heart that there is something wrong there with that. All right? I'm serious. If it like physically pains you to do that, you may want to have a little conversation with Jesus about that. All right? So let me pray for you guys, and then we'll sing and worship our Creator. Heavenly Father, thank you that not only do you call us to spend time with you, but you are always available. You are always listening, and you are always here. And so there is nowhere that we can go that is too far away from you. There is nowhere that we can go where you do not hear us, where you do not see us. And we are thankful for that. And so, Lord, would we press into you at the beginning of our day, at the end of our day, in the middle of our day, anytime that we can, and remember that you're with us, and that we would ask you to fill us with strength, with joy, with patience for those around us, God, so that we could look more like you and change our communities. God, would you help us to be challenged even in just this small way of setting aside the things that distract us from you? Would we be able to seek you at all times and know that you are with us? We love you. In your name we pray.